Today, the great Australian property bust. For how long? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, the evidence is gathering that the Australian property market is continuing to wilt, as buyer sentiment remains subdued. And the truth is, we are probably only in the foothills of the property bust so far. This week's preliminary auction clearance was 52.4% across 1,421 auctions, according to Catality. That's the third week in a row that the country's early clearance rate was in the low 50% range. It did notch up just slightly from the previous week. But the true clearance, which we calculate, which compares the listings to reported successful auctions, came in at a low 40.5%, which suggests the final results for the week will remain, well, in very weak territory, to the extent that auction clearance rates are meaningful at all. I'm going to cover the state detail in just a moment. Now, of course, listing numbers are holding quite high and are growing as more stock is accumulating, so supply is increasing. While demand is fading and vendor activity is actually quite low and it's reducing. So despite agents now desperately talking up the bargains that are out there and the opportunity for informed buyers, saying things like transactions and sales are very hard to come by this week, nevertheless. But FOOP, the fear of overpaying, is, well, frankly, gripping the market. Indeed, Tom Pannis said on X, "I've seen quiet markets, but today it's really silent. Today I auctioned to more agents than buyers, and in one case, even the vendor didn't show up, though he did encourage informed buyers to commit." So I'll be discussing this with Edwin on our Monday evening property rant. Oh, and on Tuesday, for my live show, I'm going to be joined by Leith Van Onselen from Macro Business, and we're going to look at the underlying economic and political drivers of the housing meltdown and ask how long this will continue. Actually, I think the latest headlines tell the story pretty well, thanks to Cookie Boy. This is going to set up the conversation perfectly. So, for example, there was this article suggesting that people should look in undervalued areas for property opportunities. For example, Melbourne homebuyers could be getting a near identical lifestyle for six figures less than some of the city's best value pockets, right next door to, quote, overpriced hotspots, despite the fact, of course, that property prices in Melbourne have dropped dramatically. So this is about trying to pick the value. And it's also highlighting that there are more undervalued markets in Melbourne than other major capitals after years of weaker growth, following changes affecting investors, increased housing construction, and softer demand. And the city is facing challenging times ahead. Homebuyers who wanted to find a suburb that represents good value would need to know where to look. But actually, I think the story is broader. This article from Matt Wade highlighted the fact that the spending power of families with a mortgage and two cars has been slashed by an average of $450 a month. That's in the March quarter. While non-essential funds available for a typical renter couple fell by $180 a month. This is based on the quarterly household report by Polis Partners and draws on national income expenditure and price data to track what Australian households have less for non-essential spending after essential living costs. This isn't quite the same as my stress measure, but I think it's quite relevant. And they make the point that this year has shown that households can quickly find their budgets didn't deteriorate when multiple cost pressures arrive at the same time. And the lowest 20% of income earners have been disproportionately affected, for those households' essential costs exceeding income by about $81 a week on average, meaning they must draw on savings or use credit to make ends meet. For those watching this show, this will all be very, very relevant because I've been talking about this level of stress for a long, long time. And well, it's all now coming home to roost for so many people. So there are multiple issues driving the current crisis. As we'll see in a moment, people are now picking up on this. Another factor, of course, is the potential rate rise. Because the employment statistics that came out this past week, as Shane Wright highlights, was pretty positive. 76,000 jobs through June. And they say the possible rate rise could come at the possible worst time for borrowers, with warnings that petrol prices could push through $2 a litre after the Yemeni rebels attacked oil tankers in the Red Sea, and the Middle East situation is spinning more out of control. AMP Deputy Chief Economist expects the Reserve Bank to lift interest rates when it meets on August the 10th and 11th, and said that, well, it hinges on next week's monthly inflation report. It's also worth highlighting that, in fact, New South Wales saw the bulk of jobs, but in Victoria, unemployment continues to rise a lot higher. Another reason why I don't believe that Melbourne is necessarily a good place to buy property at the moment. And of course, there is a broader context here too, as we look at the Trump's tariff interventions again, plus the lift in oil prices and greater investor concerns covering the tech companies on AI infrastructure. And the markets, of course, have fallen, as I reported yesterday. AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said the tariffs and increases in oil prices is a key risk, not only to Australia, but the global economy, which is already facing substantial headwinds. And he said the inflationary pressures unleashed by the tariffs and higher priced oil was clearly evident in the lifting government interest rates, which was a particular problem in the US, where 15% of its budget is now eating up net interest. We're seeing, of course, similar rate pressures from bond yields in Australia too. And the latest research that more people seem willing to accept potentially falls in prices. A recent Resolve political monitor poll found 61% of Australians supported house prices falling, even if that meant their own home lost value. A majority across every age, voting and income group supported the prospect. The research company Redbridge said it's often assumed that anger about house prices is generational, limited to younger voters, but he said that the rage was spreading. Parents in their 50s are now worried about their children, knowing full well that the price of homes is just not sustainable. It doesn't surprise me that people are overall quite content for prices to fall. 35%, the largest portion of those polled, thought prices would have to fall at least 20% to make housing affordable for first home buyers. Then, of course, there's the question, as Saul Eslake highlighted, yes, but what about the financial stability implications if indeed we saw that sort of fall, remembering the banks are highly leveraged into the very sector that is now under pressure. Actually, Eslake thought a growing proportion of homeowners could see the impact house prices were having on their children's prospects, as well as the eventual impact that it could have on their own retirement, as they were increasingly taking on the role of the bank of mum and dad. And in fact, my recent research shows that the bank of mum and dad is definitely shutting down the shutters, because now people are concerned about their own wealth, as well as the impact on their kids. And Domain published this week the June 2026 report, their house price report, And it's worth just going through this in some detail because it really does summarise everything that we've been talking about quite well. Australia's housing market has entered a downturn, they say. The downturn is broadening, led by Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra, where both house and unit prices declined over the quarter. Adelaide remains the only market where house price growth is accelerating, while Darwin's unit market continues to strengthen. They say the shift represents a convergence of pressures on demand. 3 rate hikes in the first half of 2026. That's reduced borrowing capacity, while cost of living pressures and weaker consumer sentiment are further constraining buyer activity. Policy changes to property taxation have added further uncertainty, making buyers more cautious, price sensitive and selective in their purchasing decisions. The signs of a downturn are increasingly evident across market conditions. Listings are rising, homes are taking longer to sell and discounting is increasing, shifting negotiating power towards buyers as vendors adjust expectations. And auction conditions have also weakened, with clearance rates falling to the lowest level since April 2020 and withdrawal rates rising as more sellers reassess their selling strategies. And the broad-based decline in unit prices across capital cities suggests investors are pulling back in response to policy changes. The broad-based upswing that defined the past 3 weeks, they say, has ended. In its place is a more fragmented and uneven market where performance is increasingly driven by local conditions, affordability and buyer confidence, all of which I would say is decaying at the moment. And they published some summary movements across the quarter. You can see there that Sydney dropped 3.3% for houses, Melbourne 3.1% for houses, and on the other hand, Adelaide saw a 4.8% rise across the quarter. And for units, units in Sydney fell 1.5% across the quarter, 1.2% down in Brisbane, and down 2.8% in Adelaide. In fact, Darwin was the only place where units rose over the quarter, up 5%, but of course on very small numbers. So when you stand back and look at all of this, you can simply say that yes, things are looking particularly wobbly at the moment. And frankly, to my mind, this is going to go on for a long, long time. This is not a short-term blip. This is much more structural. So turning then back to the clearance rates for the weekend, Melbourne hosted 707 auctions in the week to July 26th and recorded a preliminary clearance rate of 54.6%, falling 1.9% from the week prior. True clearance came in at 44.1%. Sydney's early clearance rate increased from 47.4% a week ago to 56.1%. However, 29.8% of scheduled auctions were withdrawn from the market and 63.4% of homes sold before their auction date. The true clearance was 42.3%. In the smaller capital cities, Brisbane recorded 134 auctions during the week, with the preliminary clearance rate dropping to 30.5% and is expected to finalise below the 40% mark for the ninth consecutive week. In fact, Brisbane, to me, is turning south perhaps more quickly than other markets now. True clearance was 23.9%. And Adelaide reported 99 auctions with an early clearance rate of 52.6%, while the ACT hosted 38 auctions with 53.1% selling under the hammer. True clearances were 30.3% and 44.7%. And the AFR quoted SQM Research Managing Director Louis Christopher, who said that he was increasingly hearing from real estate agents that buyers weren't turning up to auctions across the country. I have to conclude that the situation is still deteriorating. It's looking like it's getting worse before it's going to get better. And then on the horizon, we've got the Reserve Bank of Australia meeting, where it's a possibility, not a probability, he said, but it's a possibility of an interest rate rise. If that would have come along, then that would be utterly devastating for the market. So again, probably more risks ahead. So what is the bottom line here? Well, to me, the property market was due for a correction at some point, as I've been saying for a long, long time now, but we seem to have a perfect storm of factors now driving prices lower. And If you think about those main drivers, from those international pressures, from interest rate rises, from the cost of living and government policies, it's all pointing in the same direction, which means that in fact prices are likely to fall further. And by the way, migration is easing slowly, and that is another potential factor too, which we should also put on the table. But I think we can now talk about this as a potential property bust. How long it goes for and how deep it is, of course, is still to play for. But anybody who thinks this is a blip and it's going to turn around in the next month or two, I think is very deeply misleading themselves and probably other people too. Agents note. More likely, this is going to play out over months or even years. And just recall, of course, that property prices are still 40% over long-term income growth, which means that there is still a deep bubble here. And that bubble does need to come out to at least some extent. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.